Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 353, recorded on March 24th, 2018. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. This episode is sponsored by Jamf Now, the device management solution for your Apple devices at work. Check them out at jamf.com/tios. I am Michael Johnston, and with me is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I really wish you'd sing the intro. I bet it would be awesome.
Yeah, the previous intro where I goofed?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. That's just for us.
Yeah, but still, I want the musical intro sometime.
Yeah, one day. Adam Christensen's also here from the Mac cast.
Yes, that's right.
Mac cast. What's up?
How's it's a new show. I understand why he stumbled.
I know, right?
Yeah, I'm good.
Good.
Everything's all right?
Yeah, it's not doing raining anymore in California. That's nice.
I actually prefer it raining since...
I know, you weird Californians. Here. My girlfriend's like, oh, the weather's so lame now. And I'm like, the sky is blue. So.
No, it's good. I mean, we like our nice weather, except then when it's a drought and I can't, like, water my plants and I can't do anything.
And it's all brown.
It's horrible.
Yeah, so now it's green, so... It's awesome in California.
For now.
Yep.
But we always need more water, so I'd rather have a few rainy months and not have a drought in the summer than
Adam,
vice versa.
We got to fill the reservoirs. I need to prepare you for what's coming.
Is there going to be another drought?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
The snow in Colorado was so far below normal that we would need to have 300% of our spring rain to get back to our normal level.
Yep, and see, we get all our water from Colorado, so we are hosed.
Yeah,
luckily, we've had some decent rain. I haven't checked to see how we're doing, but
okay. Well, that's been weather talk. That's been weather talk with Jeff and Adam. Yeah. Let's talk about the March 27th event. So we've got a little more rumors, according to Mark Gurman. He's thinking that the cheaper iPad will be one of the big things announced this coming week, Tuesday. He doesn't think the sub-$1,000 MacBook is likely yet, but he does believe...
I would be stunned if they made that announcement on this thing.
Yeah, it seems like it's going to be iPad-related at this point.
You would be stunned if they dropped the price on an iPad Air?
No. If they announced a new laptop...
I never thought it was a new laptop. I thought from the very beginning the rumor was just a lower price on the MacBook Air.
iPad Air.
I didn't even think they're going to do that.
The MacBook Air.
On the MacBook Air.
Yeah. The MacBook Air is what? Start at $999 right now?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the price? So
you
drop that to like $799 for the existing model and then maybe spec bump a minor spec bump to another one. For education, I think... That's something that Apple could do.
Could, yeah. But again, Gurman is thinking that's not going to happen. He thinks it's primarily going to be the the iPad. So that Ming-Chi Kuo believes that it's probably going to be about $260, $259 for this new 9.7-inch iPad. Right.
And it's not going to be new again, right? It's just a price drop.
Right. Okay. Although we're still thinking that it's going to support the Apple Pencil. I think the primary reason behind the Apple Pencil stuff is the Invite itself, right? The Invite is
people read way too much into the art of it.
Here we go.
Apple invitation.
But we all know that the point, like, they do that though.
Get your tea leaves. Let's see what you have to say.
People retroactively find a way to make whatever theory they had fit the art.
Okay.
But let's hear your theory, Michael. I'm sorry.
It's not my theory. This is
because it's handwritten. It's like in a script font.
Yeah. So Ming Chi Kuo thinks that they're going to be adding Apple Pencil support to the low cost iPad to differentiate it from Android tablets. He's thinking $259.
That would be amazing.
It would be really, really amazing. Actually, it's not going to happen.
And it would totally undercut
everything.
10.5-inch iPad.
Yeah, it would undercut everything.
Yeah.
Unless, like, you couldn't store, if there was no storage on it or something. It's not going to happen. At $259, it's not going to happen. There's no way. It can't. Apple Pencil support on that? No.
No.
No, I mean, why would anybody buy a 10.5-inch iPad?
Nobody would.
Then?
Nobody would.
Pro.
Exactly. I mean, it is bigger, but not
keyboard,
that much bigger. No. But so he's thinking that this is Ming Chi Kuo. He believes that they're going to add Apple Pencil support, possibly have a lower cost Apple Pencil.
I mean, unless it's a purely education thing, like they used to do back in the day with like the eMac, and it was like only
like
education.
You can only get. You have to have like tax credentials and stuff or whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I can see that. That would be an epic move, and it would make a lot of sense that they're doing it at a school in that case. And he's also thinking that we may see support for the pencil after 2018 iPhone models, like 2019 and later, possibly.
I still say the piece, and I wish I could remember the person over at 9to5Mac that wrote it, and I apologize to them for not remembering their name, but somebody wrote a piece over there pointing out that if Apple really wanted to cinch the deal with education, what they need to do is they need to create a education version of iCloud.
Now you're talking about what I've been thinking and saying.
Yeah, iCloud services and the ability for schools to use iCloud.com email, but with their own domains, like Google offers and Microsoft offer. And does Microsoft offer it? Google does. And which is why so many schools use Chromebooks and Google, is because they can use all the Google Cloud services. And, you know, because they're strapped for cash with IT departments and stuff like that. But nobody wants to have, like, managing iPads and multiple accounts with individual iCloud accounts for every student, which is what they have to do now. And I know they have some tools to make it a little bit easier, but it's it's a nightmare for administration, for IT people in schools. So if Apple really wants to get into that market, I thought that was one of the smartest things that I heard someone say about Apple education recently. Sorry, yeah. Jim.
No, that's all right. What I've been saying for like almost immediately after the announcements went out, and I'm still going to keep saying it, I'm hoping Apple is going to announce their own version of G Suite for Education. So yeah. It's everything you just outlined. Easy to administer, easy to manage the iCloud IDs, and when you leave the school, can manage what happens with your account, and there'll be a way that students can export their data and put it into a different iCloud account if they want. But it'll essentially be G Suite for Education, but with an Apple logo.
Yeah, they need to do that if they care about education, because that's really, in my mind, where they are losing a lot of the ground, especially with iPads and things like that, to Chromebooks and the Google ecosystem.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't matter how cheap Apple makes hardware. If they don't have the services that education needs, then people are going to stick with Google and Chromebooks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and I know they're going to talk about the classroom thing a little bit. There'll probably be a software update to that too. Some people had been wondering if they were going to try to do anything with improving e-textbooks and iBooks and stuff like that. That initiative seems like it just fell totally flat.
It really did.
And
it was a great idea.
Were so awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, and they still are. I have a few of them. I bought some of them just to check them out, and they are pretty dang amazing. It's kind of sad that they never took off.
It takes too much work, and nobody's willing to pay for it.
Well, I think even a bigger problem there is that the educational book publishers don't make the money there that they do in the actual print versions.
Which is, you know, the irony in that is my kids don't have any textbooks.
No, print physical textbooks, right?
I mean, like, they teachers do everything with handouts and, like, online websites and services now. Like, they send them to, like, YouTube videos and to, you know, like, educational YouTube videos and educational websites, and they're not using textbooks. Like, literally, they don't have textbooks.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
They certainly do in college.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole different thing. And I know, you know, my kids are in a little bit different situation, but I think more and more schools are moving to that, where it's like, you know, teachers get handouts, they get... But when you think about what's in a textbook, by the time you get your hands on the textbook, a lot of, depending on, especially with a lot of subjects, it's already so dated. And that was the beauty of doing digital ones, is you could update them as well.
Yeah.
You know, on the fly. And you weren't constantly having out-of-date information or incorrect information or, you know, those sorts of things. And that's another thing that they've rebelled against. But, I mean, the reality is the schools don't have the money to buy the textbooks. So I get that the textbook companies want to charge these prices, but it's just unsustainable for most schools. So they're just moving away from it because, I mean, the reality is, if you think about it, you can get all the information you want on the internet. So the teachers spend the time culling together the information and putting it in a series of handouts, and they distribute it through, like, we have a wiki, or now we have, for a while they had a wiki, and now they have a, they use like a Schoology, right? So they just post the materials that they need for each week on Schoology, and they use that for all the classroom stuff.
Huh.
I think there's some exceptions. Obviously, they have, like, English classes, they have some novels, and I think math, there is a textbook, but for a lot of subjects, there's just not.
Interesting. Yeah, it'd be interesting to hear if they have anything to say about the textbook initiative at the state.
I mean, I think there are some requirements, so I know there are some textbooks, but again, it's compared to, like, what I had when I was a kid, like the volumes of books that I would have to carry around, it's just not the same.
Oh, I had to carry around a whole ton of books too, but
yeah.
I know, yeah. I mean, for what it's worth, now in college, we all have digital versions. We do have textbooks, but we have the digital versions. Tons of them.
That's so much better.
Yeah, we have, like, I don't know, 1, 2, 3. I probably have, I don't know, 15 or so different textbooks now at this point that I've amassed.
Wow. And your iPad doesn't feel any heavier, does it?
I know. It's great. It's wonderful.
But now you can't buy used textbooks anymore.
I'm not buying anything. That's the beauty. I mean, I totally pay for everything.
Right.
Yes. Anyway, so that's March 27th event. That is Tuesday, as Jeff pointed out to me, because I thought it was Monday. It is Tuesday. So we will hear more. Hopefully there will be something interesting for consumers coming out of this event.
Nope.
You don't think so?
No, this is gonna all be about education.
Well, they're having another event soon after. Rumored.
We have WWDC coming up in June.
Right.
So that there will be nothing consumer at Tuesday's event.
Okay, good to know. All right, what do we have here? Ooh, okay. Apple to prevent Siri from reading hidden notifications on the lock screen in a future software update. So this is something I didn't realize was an issue, but it is. So this issue affects primarily third-party applications.
Only third-party
messaging applications. No, it doesn't affect iMessage, but it sporadically affects Mail. So
sporadically?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Weird.
So occasionally Siri will...
It reads only embarrassing messages.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even see how this is much of an issue.
Okay, no. Let me take it back. It will read the subject line of emails sent through mail, even though those are concealed. So the idea is you can set up your phone's notifications to not preview unless it's unlocked, right, which is pretty nice and works great with like iPhone 10, because you look at your phone and it just shows you the stuff, and it's not so bad on phones with Touch ID either. In fact, I recently turned that on, because why not? It does affect. So Siri will read the content of the third party stuff, but they will be fixing it soon. Apple reached out to say that it's possible it'll be fixed in an 11.2.7 update, but will definitely come in 11.3.
I want to know who's leaving their phone around so that someone can exploit this.
Well,
I want to know. I would love to see how someone exploits this. That's the thing. Like, I get that it's a privacy issue, but like, no one's ever come up and said, I guess we can do it now. We can do it to all our listeners. Hey Siri, read my text messages. Uh-oh. Hey Siri, stop.
Siri, no.
Right, but I mean, that was me doing that on purpose. Right, so, right. Like, someone coming up behind you and like doing that just seems so like unlikely.
Well, it won't. Well, see, that's the thing. The Hola Siri won't work typically for someone else's voice, but if you press and hold the home button,
right?
It works.
Yeah.
For
so,
anyone.
Like, okay. So someone's gonna soon to be ex-friend is going to come up behind you and like grab your phone and like push the button and then say, read my text messages, and then laugh at you because you got some.
Because Siri is going to verbally describe the sex
that you
got. I
guess my problem is like this story blew up like in such a big way, and it just seems like such a minor.
Did it blow up?
It's great that Apple's going to fix.
Oh,
yes,
people are flipping
it
out.
It was all over the place.
Oh, well, people need something to flip
it's like
out.
Like Apple doesn't have security.
that's a direct quote.
Oh yeah.
And the reality is if you're really concerned about it, you should. I mean, I actually advise that people just don't
disable
let Siri read your text messages. Like, just turn from the lock screen.
Right.
You can turn that off completely.
Right, right, right.
Like, only let Siri read messages if the phone's unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know. It was a little crazy to me because I was trying to imagine the scenario where this gets exploited, and it's like, okay, the person has to have access to the phone, right? Or the device. Chances are you're going to be in the room or with your device. Like, I don't leave my devices just randomly lying around. And if I did, it might be in my house. So I guess my family could access it. So are people worried that, like, their kid, I guess your kids could access maybe? That would be a little bit of a concern. But if you're,
it's not a huge concern. Let's be real. It's not a huge concern.
Yeah. If you're getting, I'm just trying to, I'm trying to give people the benefit of the doubt. But it's like, if you're really that concerned about your privacy, you should be taking deeper measures than allowing Siri to read your text messages, I guess is kind of my point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you.
I just, I don't get those kinds of messages. So maybe I don't understand.
Yeah. You need to get into some more trouble, Adam.
Like seedy stuff.
Yeah.
I gotta start doing bad things.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you can identify with our audience. Better.
But again, if you're doing bad things, man, you should be like using encryption everywhere. You should have everything like so locked down.
Yeah, be better at being bad, okay? Be people.
Exactly.
Get with it.
Like, if you're gonna be the idiot that's like, yeah, I'm gonna go and like plan the next major heist, and I'm just gonna like leave my phone lying around and tell everybody, yeah, just send me iMessages about how we're gonna run this.
About how good the heist is going.
Yeah.
Like, all right. I don't think this is Apple's security problem.
Jewel thieves. yeah. Okay, so we've got A bunch more to talk about RE iPhones and new displays and stuff like that. But first, we have to talk about our sponsor, which is Jamf Now. Jamf Now helps you set up, manage, and protect your Apple devices on demand. It's pretty easy to keep track of your own Mac, iPad, or iPhone, but what about the other Apple devices in your organization? As a business grows, so does its collection of devices, making it increasingly harder to manage everyone's iPad, iPhone, and Mac. This is especially true if employees are in different locations, but with Jamf Now, you can check real-time inventory, configure Wi-Fi and email settings, deploy applications, protect sensitive company data, and even lock or wipe a device from anywhere. Jamf Now manages and protects your devices so you can focus on your business instead. No IT experience needed. iOS Show listeners can start securing their businesses today, setting up their first 3 devices for free forever. Add more for just $2 a month per device. Create your free account today at jamf.com/tios. That's jamf.com/TIOSS. We thank them so much for their support of the iOS show. All right, so with that, this is fun. So we got a rumor from our buddy Benjamin Geskin. He tweeted a photo about a blush gold iPhone 10 in production. So I guess when the iPhone 10 originally, there were some rumors of a trio of colors coming out, and we've seen this in the past where they would, you know, the rumors implied, and even Apple said in the past with certain iPhones that we would see certain colors, and we didn't end up seeing them until a while later. I'm thinking about the iPhone 4 in white.
I knew you were thinking about that.
Yeah, because yeah, I have a
go
past.
Back and listen to your Tios history, kids.
Yeah, you'll hear me.
Man, that was an issue for Michael.
Belly aching about that one.
But you got really creative with getting yourself a white.
I sure did. Good times. Yeah, good times. So, but Ben Geskin, he's got a good track record of knowing about stuff, and so he tweeted a picture of this blush gold iPhone. Calling it the D21A. And I guess it's...
Isn't that a Star Wars droid?
Yeah, that's what I was
just thinking the same thing.
Yeah, so he tweeted a photo and said, hey, it's coming soon.
New colors.
That's pretty much it.
To bump sales. I would imagine at the same time the product red version comes out too.
Yeah, so there's a rendering of the blush gold by a guy named Michael Flux that looks really nice. But the photos that Geskin tweeted don't look that great. So I don't know. But photos never do these colors justice.
No, they don't.
So I like more colors. I think the, I think what Apple's been doing lately with these glass-covered colors has been pretty nice. So I'm looking forward to seeing it.
I don't like them.
No?
Nope.
I really like the I like the rose gold iPhone 8 especially. That's a really good-looking phone. Not a fan?
It's this weird off-white.
Yeah, the
mauve-y, like, color. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm a big fan. I like it. I like the gold and the red.
I wish they had gone with like a pure white instead of just this. The colors are muted. Kind of, like the silver one is like this flat, weird,
I like light all gray. Of all of it.
Yeah,
I like
it's
it.
Weird colors.
All the colors I like. I'm a fan.
I mean, it's the thing that glass does. I mean, if you take a pane of glass and put it over the top of any surface, it creates a weird muted effect to it, to mm-hmm. to the actual color that's underneath. So, yeah, I did not like them. That's why I ended up with a black iPhone 10 instead of any other color.
Mm. Well, to each their own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I guess this means you won't have any trouble getting a rose gold iPhone 10 because Adam and I won't be in line for that.
Right. No, I don't know that I'm going to go with the blush gold or whatever. I think I'm probably going to go with silver again.
Blush gold.
Whatever. But I think I'm going to go with the silver. I like the white. The iPhone 10 in white is really nice too. But yeah. So.
Yeah.
What else we have here? Oh, this is a good thing to hear about. So Apple is expected to do a trial production of the 2018 iPhone lineup earlier on than usual to try and avoid the issues that we had last year. So this is according to DigiTimes. They believe that this this you know trial run will help them understand better the production issues and get these 2018 iPhones out much more quickly.
Doesn't Apple do this every single year? I mean, a trial run?
Yeah, but this is earlier than, I guess, normal.
Oh, earlier.
Earlier.
Oh, yeah, see, my problem was I wasn't actually listening to anything Michael said.
That's usually your problem.
But here's the thing about that. It's just like they've already had the quote-unquote trial run because I'm presuming that not much is changing. I guess maybe the new chips they're going to do trial runs on so they don't have chip shortages, but I would imagine a lot of the other components are not being updated.
Who knows?
Like, are we going to get significant updates to the true depth camera system?
I would guess that they have made an earnest effort to improve the true depth camera.
In that scenario, maybe. Because, I mean, that's where their problems were. So, I mean, if they've made significant changes to the sensors, but I'm not sure why they would have to do that.
It wouldn't have to, but it would make...
So they're going
to
have a 60,000 dot projector instead of 30,000?
Well, not necessarily. It, you know, whatever they could do to make the authentication more accurate and faster, I don't know what they would change to make that. Maybe they would increase the density of the dots, or maybe they would increase the accuracy of the receiver. Who knows?
There was rumors that they were going to add that kind of technology into the the EyeSight camera.
Right, right, yeah.
Right, they were going to use the laser technology.
Freaking laser technology.
Yeah, but that was more for giving you a...
Right, yeah, so, but I mean, so thing. If they needed to test production on that so they can avoid shortages, that would kind of make sense.
I mean, they're changing something with this new phone, right? Whatever they're changing, they're going to do... You do have to do the production trial run.
Of course.
And it seems like they're trying to get ahead of this issue that they had last year. That they, I mean, honestly, well, have every year, but...
Yeah, it's good. I doubt just getting started earlier will avoid any issues.
I'm sure it'll mitigate it. This is why we need parallel universes.
There's never enough iPhones.
I know.
At an iPhone launch.
It's really dumb.
Or really smart.
Yep.
Yeah. It's really dumb or really smart. Who knows? We'll never know.
No, I think it's really smart.
Yeah. Okay. This is fun. Apple apparently is developing its own micro LED displays for future devices. And they're doing this in a secret internal place. According to Bloomberg, they have a manufacturing facility in Santa Clara where it's designing and producing test samples of its own displays.
Just like the secret manufacturing facility they had in, was it Santa Clara or near there, near the campus for making a car?
It might be the same place, honestly. They're like, well, cars didn't work out. Let's do something else.
Yeah, our lease isn't up. Let's do something else.
we'll replace the test track.
This is technology they've been working on for a while because they bought that, what was it, Israeli company?
Yeah, back in 2014, I think it was.
And they have an R&D facility there that they've been working on this technology for a while. So,
yeah.
I mean, the next natural progression would be actually trying to get the technology into a display. So, and Apple has a propensity to want to make the technologies that they use in their devices. But I think what they're probably trying to do is perfect a manufacturing technique that then they can give to their third-party display partners,
right.
Sort of like they do with processors, yep, you know, now, right?
You nailed it. That's exactly what they're doing. Apple's not going to build a display factory.
No, they're not. Bloomberg was very specific about this, that they would, that the full scale production would be outsourced. So this is for exactly that. And for what it's worth, micro LED, promises, slimmer displays, brighter, lower power consumption, all that good stuff. And they think that, the first device to get the micro LED when it does come would be the Apple Watch, kind of in the same way that we saw OLED on the Apple Watch. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
The iPhone.
We're going to start with our smallest display because these things are hard to make.
Yeah, and then maybe Touch Bar.
No, we'll start with a 55 cinema display.
Curved.
Yeah.
Let's see. So some rumors are pointing to seeing it in the Apple Watch as soon as this year. Bloomberg thinks that's unlikely. They believe up to 2 years for Apple Watch and then 3 to 5 more. Or I should say 3 to 5
I think
from
that's
today.
Pretty optimistic
for iPhone.
Yeah,
I was thinking that sounds pretty realistic.
That seems realistic.
I think we're OLED until then, and we'll see Apple expand OLED technology into other things.
Yeah. You know what I learned today? So there's this other rumor that I didn't really want to talk about. So there's I forget where it came from, but the rumor that we're going to see in 2020, a foldable iPhone.
Oh yeah.
We've been hearing that rumor for decades.
Yeah, they already did that. When I saw that render, I was like, they already did that. Just put it in your pocket for a while. But I didn't realize that. So the iPhone X does have a flexible OLED display, and they take advantage of that in that they fold over the display at the edges, and they have the display controllers in between that fold, so they are able to get it to the edge even further.
Yeah, the big difference with the way Apple's using that now and the way it would be used in a phone with a foldable display is that what Apple has right now, it can't hold up to continuous bending. So it's designed to be bent into whatever shape you want it, and then you just leave it.
And see, that seems like a more reasonable use of the technology. So we've got these display makers saying, like, look what we can do. And they're showing off the fact that you can, roll up this display and put it in your pocket. But it seems like Apple has done a more practical, useful thing, because we still have to worry about the circuit boards. The circuitry itself
bend. This is more than just a bendable display. You need bendable circuit boards, bendable batteries.
Right, bendable batteries. That sounds like a fire.
I love the idea that at some point I'm going to have a display that works like a scroll from ancient Egyptian times or something like that.
It doesn't seem that practical, but okay, maybe.
That's awesome.
I'm sure it'll be great.
I mean, that kind of a laptop display, if you had something that collapsed down and you could go, you're working at Starbucks and you just have the base of the computer thing, and then you have a wireless display that just can be massive, a 20 inch display that just could be interesting. Because we're going to have rollable displays before we have foldable displays. I mean, they can have rollable displays practically right now, I think.
Yeah.
But Jeff is saying, the problem is you have to have a material, you have to have a surface material that you can put a crease in it and then take the crease out of it, and you don't know that it was creased.
And that's extremely difficult.
Yeah.
Near impossible to do at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
But an iPhone flip phone might be fun.
Oh, boy.
You're like, no.
I'll call it the razor.
There you go. We'll drop a vowel. Yeah. So there's that. And did I talk about the HomePod ad that Apple put out a couple weeks ago? The one with FKA Twigs.
I really like that ad.
It's a great ad. So I've watched a couple times, and it's pretty impressive, because I suspected that they had most of the effects were practical effects. It seemed,
physical, yeah, they were all it, physical it seemed effects. Like, it looked like to me when I watched it.
Right. So they put out, so this is directed by Spike Jonze. And they put out a behind the scenes. Who published this?
I want to see that. I haven't seen that.
So it was who posted this? So this is via Adweek. Adweek's got the story on this thing, and there's a video behind the scenes of how they did this thing, and it's a massive set with hydraulic stuff, expanding this apartment and all this stuff. It's very cool. So I'll put a link in the show notes to that video and the article. It's really cool. So, and I'll also throw in a link to the original ad itself, because if you haven't seen it, it's pretty cool.
It's a really fun ad.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't have anything else to talk about. Is there anything I missed, guys? Or we're just kind of waiting to hear what Apple says on Tuesday.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, cool. So with that, let's do some picks and we'll get out of here and enjoy beautiful weather. So Adam, you go first.
That's why I was saying,
Jeff, go first.
Okay. My pick is, it's a car mount for your iPhone, and it's called the Steely Freemount Dash Kit, and it's from Night Eyes. And bear with me because they do not know how to spell stuff. So the company's name is NITEIZE, Night Eyes.
Yikes. Wow.
Yeah. So once you get over how to spell the company's name, it's actually a really cool product. So I've been on this quest for a really good mount for my iPhone in my car, and I've tried so many different things and they just have all sucked. And part of the problem is I have radical temperature fluctuations in the winter in Colorado.
Yeah.
So stuff that I stick to my car inside in the winter, it eventually just stops sticking. So I use this all winter long, and it's been great. So what it is, it's like this steel ball on a mount, and it has adhesive on it. So I stuck it on my in the center console for my dash, and then it comes with this clamp thing that adjusts to different size phones, so you can leave your case on your phone, and then there's a magnet, a ring shaped magnet on the back of this clamp. So Ooh. You just set it on the ball, and it holds really well. But you can also move it around in different positions because it's just this ring. Wow. Sticking to the ball. And so this thing has held up through the radical temperature fluctuations that we had all winter long, and it has worked flawlessly for me. And my concern initially, I had two concerns. The adhesive was not going to hold, has not been a problem at all. And the other was that the bracket, because it's kind of a spring-loaded ratchet thing. You squeeze it to hold it on your phone, and then there's a button on the back or a lever. You push the lever, and it releases. I figured that would wear out at some point. No. It works just as good as the day I took everything
out. Can you describe that again, how the clamp clamps onto the phone?
So you squeeze the clamp from the sides.
Uh-huh.
So
you put your phone up to it, and then you squish it in there.
Yeah, so you set your phone in it, and then you grab the sides of the clamp and squeeze, and then it grips your phone from the sides. And then when you're ready to take your phone out, on the back side, right alongside where the little ring magnet is, there's a lever. You push down on that, and it releases the sides, and so the clamp opens up, and then you can pull your phone out.
Nice.
Yeah, it's been fantastic.
Oh, and you can even do a, it looks like you can actually stick a thing to your phone, too, if you want.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they have a ring where if you just want to stick it right on your phone case or directly on your phone, you can do that, too. For me, since I know that my phones swap out every year and I'm always trying different cases throughout the year, doing the clamp seemed like a better way to go. And they also make this little stand that you can sit on your desk, and it's the same steel ball on top. Mm-hmm. So if you want, you can just pull your phone out of the car with that clamp still attached to it, go into your house or your office, and set it on the little stand on your desk. And now you have your iPhone propped up, and you can use it there, too.
That is really cool. So it's the $35.
$35.
And they sell
the Fremount dash kit.
They sell the different components individually too, which is nice.
So you can custom build your own mount system if you wanted.
Yeah, so you can get the different for various prices. So that's, I like that. So $35 for the whole kit that you're describing though.
Yeah, and for me it's worth the $35 because everything I needed is in one box. Went out to my car, stuck the little mount thing on, and I was done.
Nice. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, Adam, are you ready?
I think I had to go back and confirm that nobody had picked this. I know I mentioned it on another podcast, but I had to confirm that maybe Jeff didn't pick this one.
I don't think you did.
I don't know how I missed this because this came out at the beginning of the year. And I didn't find it until like a month ago.
I didn't mention it.
And I'm a huge fan of this series. So the pick is The Room, Old Sins. So The Room series, I think they've had three different games so far. This is the fourth in the series. And it's one of these puzzle 3D kind of secret box kind of puzzle if you're into like escape room kind of things or Myst kind of games. It's that style of game. And so the concept is you have these different objects and different rooms that you have to go into, and you have to solve all kinds of different puzzles. But it's not just one puzzle in any given space. There's like different, you'll solve one puzzle and it'll give you the pieces to solve kind of the next puzzle, or it goes into another area of the game. And it's just, they're really gorgeously rendered environments, and it has a great kind of storyline that goes along with it. I don't want to give away too much of it, but it's just super, super fun. I can get through them pretty quick, so it's not like for me, it's not a long lasting game. And some people complained that it, you know, was sort of more of the same, but I always just enjoy the whole process of it and trying to figure things out. Some of the puzzles are a little bit more complex than others. Some are a little bit simpler. But it's just, to me, it's just a lot of fun. It's just kind of entertaining, thought-provoking kind of game. I believe we finished it in a couple of days, which amounted to maybe 5 or 6 hours of gameplay. But it's not very expensive. I want to say it was $4.99.
It is,
if
yeah.
I'm not mistaken. And again, it's just so beautifully done, and just a lot of, I like these kinds of games. So they're a lot of fun. So if you're into puzzle style games and stuff that's like 3D rendered and just beautifully drawn and put together, check out the entire Room series. I would, if you have never played them, I would start with the original Room mm-hmm. and work your way up. But this is the fourth in the series, and I hope they keep making them because I just really, really like them. So The Room, Old Sins is the name of this one.
Very nice. Okay, so I'm gonna offer a pick and a tip. So my tip is I recently switched from Evernote to Ooh. Apple Notes. Because I think Apple Notes has gotten to a point where it does everything I need, which is basically I'm a crazy person with bullet points. Just everything is bullet points for me, and you know, it just needs me to look too. Good and search and sync with everything. So Evernote, maybe what, 2 years ago now, I think they switched to you can do two devices, and anything beyond two devices you have to pay. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. Evernote is kind of a convoluted giant mess of stuff. There's a lot going on in Evernote. I don't think I ever fully got comfortable with it. And at some point I was just thinking, you know, I think I can do everything I need with Apple Notes. And
yeah,
turns
it's
out
built
you,
in.
Yeah, it's built in. You got the good syncing. you know, it's even more into that ecosystem, which I love. So turns out you can, so you can export from Evernote. You can, there's a Evernote format that you can export your notebooks to. Mm-hmm. And Apple Notes natively supports the Evernote format.
Yeah. That's really smart.
Yeah. So I just went in there and I, you know, went into my notebook.
Sucked in all your Evernotes.
Threw it in there. It was basically painless. And now I have it synced everywhere.
What's the process? How does that work? Do you have to do it on the Mac first and then sync it over to your iOS devices? Or can you pull in the Evernote format right into iOS?
Yeah, so you do. I haven't tried it on my phone. I'm not sure. I did it on my Mac.
Okay, so you did it on your Mac. And so was it just like literally like a drag and drop, or just you just take the Evernote format and just open it, say open in notes? You have to do an import.
So let me see. Yeah, so on my phone, it doesn't look like I can export. So, but what I did, hang on, there's a little share thingy. Export
notes. Well, I'm curious what the process was on your Mac. Like, so.
Yeah, so on my
export,
Mac.
You go to Evernote, you export the Evernote format.
I highlight.
You've got an Evernote file.
I highlight, so the way I personally did it, I went into my notebook. I showed all the notes in my notebook. I highlighted them all. Did file export notes, and I did the Evernote XML format, and it included tags for each note, threw it on my desktop, went to notes, and did import notes. It saw it natively. Okay. And then it,
so it's from import.
Right. And then it put it into a, I think like an imported note. So it didn't keep the notebook thingy, but I just, you know, highlighted all, drug it in. Boom. No problem.
So then you had to just kind of reorganize them inside notes.
It really wasn't even an issue. It was just like, cause it put it in its own distinct category from the import. And so I just went to the import, grabbed all.
Right. Yeah.
So you just want to do it kind of notebook by notebook.
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
Yes.
Cause it's not going to pull in each notebook. It's going to pull in everything
individual
you
notes.
Exported from a notebook, and then you can just relabel it and then bring in the next one.
So if you have that in mind, you're golden. You're good.
That's cool.
Yeah. So there's that. And then my pick is T-Mobile has done this for the last several years now. You get, they're offering a full year of MLB Premium, which is $115 value for free on this coming T-Mobile Tuesday.
Seriously?
Yes.
Wow.
So I'm excited about that. Because it's normally expensive, and you can watch all the baseball you want on your, you can watch it on your phone, of course. You can watch it on your Apple TV, on your Mac, whatever. I've heard rumors that if you try to watch it on a Verizon phone, it will be like, hell no, go away, and it cancels. But other than that, you can watch it anywhere you want. So, because it attaches to your MLB account.
Coming up on Tuesday. Do you have to take advantage of that offer through the app?
Yes, you need the T-Mobile Tuesday app. So get that on your phone.
I have that on my phone. So.
And open it up on Tuesday, press yes please, and go through the steps, and you got it.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm doing that. I'm not even a baseball fan, and I want that.
It's great. It's good stuff. So yeah, with that, you can find all the picks in the show notes at theiosshow.com. Review the show on iTunes, tell a friend, send your feedback about the show to feedback@theiosshow.com. Check out our sponsor, which is Jamf Now at jamf.com/tios. All of our advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Adam Christensen's at the MattCast, mattcast.com. He's at MattCast on Twitter. Thanks for being here, Adam.
Hey, yeah. Another good show. Thanks.
Yeah. And Jeff Kamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, the TMO Daily Observations podcast, and at Jay Gamet on Twitter. Thanks for being here, Jeff.
Oh, thanks. It's always awesome to hang out with you guys.
And I am at Michael Johnston on Twitter. You can find my ramblings there. And with that, we'll see you next time on the iOS show.
An internet. How are we going to? get this one. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right?